Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. She Ain't No Mascot, Maggie Glascott.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty-Dowerty. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. As usual, you can also hear me on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, which we're currently in the process of grilling Colton on, so come listen to that. And here I am with my partner and bestie, Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on YouTube. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing today, babe?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm excited because it's Friday, and mainly it's Friday. I think that's it. I'm like really excited that it's Friday. I'm excited to dive into the weekend and play a bunch of board games if possible and just like enjoy life and be an independent spirit award.
Well, you're about to get that chance.
You have
1 hour ahead of you.
Yes.
Everybody, welcome to the Top Chef episode. Where's the beef? we're Carly. Very excited. Let's quickly get through this shilling before we start. Mm-hmm. I do shilling the fastest, so I'll start. We're gonna be doing Crappens
Shade
Live.
Shade shilling.
We're gonna be doing Crappens Live all over America. We're gonna be in Dallas, Texas on February 8th, recapping Below Deck. That is our first Below Deck recap. It is gonna be amazing. Get your butts over there. We'll see some of you in Charleston this week. And then we are going to Irvine, Portland, Cincinnati, which has, I think, 4 tickets. So we are going to add a show, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, we're going to add a show in Cincinnati. Yeah. So come on, let's do it. And Portland, I said, and Irvine, and what's the other one, Ben? Oh, Phoenix.
Well, there's Just for Laughs. I mean, far be it from me with my long-winded shilling to jump in.
I know, that's
here.
Karma. That was shade shilling karma I just got. Because I was like, where am I? What am I doing?
Just for Laughs in Vancouver is going to be super exciting. We still have tickets available for our Boston show. I mean, you got most of it, Ronnie. Listen, go to watchacrappens.com. Don't rely on us to give you information. Just go to the website. It has all. I mean, if we were better podcasters, we would actually have the website and the schedule in front of us so we could be organized and just like tell you all the dates. But you can just go there yourselves and buy tickets because our shows are amazing and super fun. And you never know what's going to happen at them or who will show up and things like that. So, but for right now, Texas is the next show that has tickets available. So I just want to really implore people. That's only like 2 weeks away or 3 weeks away. So go get your tickets for that because I don't want to have to spend the next like 3 weeks begging for you guys to buy tickets. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's all about
also. We are doing 1 or 2 video recaps a week. You can find those on Patreon, along with our bonus episodes, which are always super fun. And your t-shirts. Every month we have a new t-shirt. This month is Ben in the Streets, Ronnie the Sheets. That's available for 2 more weeks, so go get that. And now...
Wait, I just want to say one more thing.
Oh, damn.
Make sure everyone tunes in on Tuesday, because we're announcing 2 more cities on Tuesday, and I think some of you guys are going to be super, super, super excited.
Games. Okay.
Games.
So today is Top Chef. Wow.
What
an episode. It was a beef disaster on Top Chef.
Yeah. Big old beef problems here. You and your vegetarianism must have been so happy to see all this beef failure.
Well, you know, I'm not like a huge like a militant vegan or anything. I mean, I'm not even vegan. I'm barely even vegetarian. I still eat fish, okay? But yeah. It is amazing that I think it's like that rule where you lose 5 pounds and then suddenly everyone around you seems obese.
Yeah.
Where I've been like a kind of vegetarian for a few months now. And now I'm like, how could they? How could they do that to that cow? Like, I'm so upset.
Mm-hmm.
We're monsters, okay? And we deserve whatever we get in this world. There, I've said it.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning, where we see Justin coming back into the kitchen after the eliminations, and he's like, "We will protect this house," you know, which is so dramatic for Top Chef. Because basically they're all excited that Brother Luck came back and then was immediately kicked off. And I think, like, I mean, I was excited too. I was ecstatic.
Yeah, I was happy too, but it does rub me the wrong way when the chefs act like that.
Yeah, right? They act like they're like in an Under Armour commercial. I'm like, you know what, you just made foie gras, okay? Like, let's like stop acting as if you caught the game winning, you know, touchdown from Tom Brady.
Yeah, no one owes Top Chef. No one owns Top Chef, okay? And also, yeah, you guys are going to be all up in the Top Chef internet commercials and everything else for Last Chance Kitchen. So let's stop pretending that you're not all as thirsty as poor
Brother
Luck.
Yeah, you guys are gonna be the ones in 6 months from now, like, pestering your chef agent to be like, "Can you get me on Last Chance Kitchen? Can you get me on Last Chance Kitchen?" Yes. So relax.
Yeah. But it is funny how everybody's like that. Eric's like, "You know what, guy?" Because they're like, "Congratulations, Eric." And he's like, "Guys, it's a house win. Here's to season 16. It's like, you know, you guys are all competing against each other too, you dopes.
I know. But you know what's funny is that, like, we've never seen this much sort of outward animosity towards the Last Chance Kitchen contender. Normally when someone from a previous season comes back, people are like, "Oh man, they are a powerhouse. Wow, they are so good. I'm intimidated." But like Brother Luck, they're like, "Fuck this guy. We don't want him back." And it's kind of funny because that's how we felt too. There's something about Brother Luck that just like inspires rage.
I think it's his name. It's just his name, Brother Luck. It's the dumbest made up name ever. Okay.
And I think and his mise en place tattoo. And I think on top of that, the fact that he his attitude, you know, like the reason why he got kicked off is because he basically just cooked what he wanted to cook instead of like what the challenge was. And it sort of just speaks to like everything you'd expect from someone named Brother Luck.
And then our other favorite thing happens.
Oh, God.
Someone FaceTimes a baby.
Exactly. And my other favorite, Eddie.
Yeah, you're really not a fan of Eddie. I like Eddie and his Abraham Lincoln teeth and his like refusal to smile. Like, I like him. I love his self-hatred. I'm into it.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy how nervous he is. But you know who was the last, I feel like the last significant chef on Top Chef who was that self-doubting? It was honestly Richard Blaise. And you can see what he turned into.
But Richard Blaise was only, he wasn't self-doubting. He was doubting why he was losing. You know,
like a nervous
Blaise
Nelly.
Like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
He was. That was like his whole thing. He had a faux hawk and he was a nervous Nelly. And now he's like, he has like a pompadour now. And he's like, "Hey, I'm Richard Blaise. Hey, I'm going to wear a cool jacket. What's going on, everyone?" You're like, "Ugh, go back to being a nervous Nelly."
And he unhinges his jaw enough to swallow said baby. Like, please close your mouth. Okay, you look like
a
bitch.
He does the hashtag blessed hand thing. Little hand bow.
You know who else is doing that? Justin. Which I can't with Justin and his hand. You know, he started like making me mad a couple of weeks ago when he was snotty to somebody about something. I don't even remember. Then he made me mad in the hot tub because he was just, I don't know, a bunch of chefs in a hot tub just irked me. And now he's doing blessed hands like he's Yolanda Foster. And I can't with you and your blessed hands.
I don't know. For some reason, it like works for me more with Justin. I mean, blessed hands are sort of annoying in general, but like if anyone could do them, someone like Justin can. But like with Richard Blaise, it's so affected because we know what Richard Blaise is and was, you know. So for him to do the hashtag blessed hands, it's kind of like, oh, you saw this on TV. Your media trainer said this would be a good gesture for you to like workshop with on Top Chef. Like, this is not like an innate, you are not feeling innately like you need to bless someone. Whereas I feel like Justin might, even though Justin does sort of have hipster douchey tendencies. He wears them well, better than Richard Blaze.
No one wears blessed hands well, okay? Like, I even saw a Buddha in the game Zelda doing blessed hands, and I was like, fuck you, blessed hands. And that was like a little Buddha statue.
Hipster Buddha? The hipster Buddha was like, thanks so much, bro. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for visiting my shrine, bro. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Blessed. Blessed.
Blessed. Hashtag. So Eddie's FaceTiming his baby, whose name is Roman, which, I mean, Fallen Empire. You guys, let's get it together with our baby names. We're like, I'm going to name my baby Iraq. Like, why?
Or I was going to say Roman or Fallen Empire or Fallen Director. Either way.
True.
Not a...
I snorted so hard it was like a block. Like I was swallowing a kid's plate. I was like...
Like a little block that said like A, D, Z on it came out.
Yeah, so he's FaceTiming his baby and he's like, my son is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm like, you just left him.
Has any parent not said that? Has any parent said, my son, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. I liked finding that Buddha in Zelda more. You know, like, of course, it's like the best thing that ever happened. It's your son.
I gave birth to like a pretty average, boring child. Okay, and that's it. I'm not even going to call it. Okay, my son was so boring. I went on a reality show to ditch it. Okay, tell them I'll call him back.
Eddie hits all the standard notes of chef calling child on Top Chef. Okay, with the one exception of declaring when he was 17 he was living in the gutter because of drugs and cooking saved him, because he's saying how his kid is the best thing that ever happened to him and that he's already eating foie gras and caviar and he's not even two. And when he went to cooking school, he was away for a while, and then his mom died and never got to see him be a chef. Like, he just was like, right down the row, like every check mark. It's like bloop, 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 bloop.
I know. He was like one heroin addiction away from owning that block.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then he ended his FaceTime on a really strange note. Did you pick this up when he goes, I'm going to kiss the shit out of you when I get home, buddy?
I mean, interesting concept, you know. That would come in handy if I could do that with my dog and it's raining outside. Just kiss him until he poops.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, so...
That's like literally all I cared about in this episode. I was like, wow, okay, Eddie has a baby and it made me nuts. I'm going to talk about it for 10 minutes. The end! Thank you for coming. But then, Padma shows up with crazy face and hair.
So, yeah. So it's the quick fire and Padma's there with Lena Waithe. And Padma's like, chefs, I want to introduce you to my friend, Lena Waithe.
Actor, producer, writer, Emmy Award winner, basketball player.
Person who doesn't steal food off my plate. Gail.
Subway sandwich aficionado. Lena Waithe, my friend.
My friend. Has everyone seen my friend, Lena Waithe? Thanks so much for being here, Lena Waithe, my friend. So... Lena starts talking about eating, and she's saying, you know, like when she goes to different, she's always going to different cities, and she usually is working until 3 a.m. And that's when she goes out and eats the food. And she's like, the food that I eat at that time is usually hearty, and I go to cities where they don't count calories. And I expected Pam to jump in and be like, we call those Gale cities. You ever heard of a sanctuary city? It's like a Galetuary city.
Have you ever had an open-faced Gale witch? You can't poop for 3 days after and you feel miserable about yourself.
You ever had a Gale Christo?
Okay, so then Padma explains that in Kentucky they're only allowed to film at hotels. She's like, last week we were at a hotel that was a hotel. This year we're at another hotel. This one is a hotel. I was like, okay, thanks. She's like, this one has its own history. When they opened in the 20s, they had dances really late at night. They would wake up, go down to the kitchen, and eat whatever was there. Wait for it. Am I right, Gail? I didn't even have to say anything that time.
Gail just skips the dance and goes to the kitchen.
Can we just can we please record something to put at the beginning of Top Chef recap?
Oh, yeah, like, we have to do our thing.
No Gales were harmed in the making of this recap.
Oh yeah, let's wait. Let's, because we got again tweets last week. Okay, are we? This is now. It used to be a once a season. Now it's a weekly disclaimer. We love Gail Simmons. We don't think she's fat. We don't think she's a monster. We, even if she were fat, we wouldn't care. Who cares? We think she's lovely and beautiful, and like we adore her. She's like really one of our favorites of all time, and we love Padma too. We just like pretending that Padma hates Gail and undermines her wherever she can.
Yeah.
It's all fake.
No Gales were harmed in the making of this recap.
So, yes, the guests would come down to the kitchen late at night and they would see what they could find in the fridge, assuming Gail hadn't been there first.
They call it the hot brown. Anyone know what that is? And they're like, is it something to do with Gail having early morning shits after she went to the hotel? Yes. It's also unfortunately, a hotel yes. sandwich.
Unfortunately, that's all too accurate. Bless her heart.
Now, we're going to have look-alike Gail and equally bad patterns fly your favorite sandwich up to Gail in her pregnancy castle, wherever that may be. I just want them to fly food to Gail in every episode. That was like my favorite thing. And then they sent that tiny girl out carrying humongous boxes.
Has anyone heard of a hot brown? And Justin's like, I have one on both my menus on both my restaurants. And then of course Sarah's like, we have one on the menu too. Yeah. And ours is called the Hot Damn Hot Brown. So yeah.
Yeah, I have a hot brown, and I know I can make it better than him. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. Famous last words, right?
Exactly. So they bring out a whole bunch of hot brown samples for everyone to try, and Pamela's like, anyone hungry? Don't answer that, Gail. You're up in New York. You can't get here in time.
And then the girl with the earrings is like, this is my first hot brown. It's like, ugh, I don't, you know what, that girl has like literally done nothing to me. I don't know why she makes me mad. I'm mad at her earring.
Yeah, you've been mad at her since like we did our preview. Those earrings.
It's the earring. I don't, you know what, wear whatever you want. What do I care? But I do care. I'm earring shaming this girl. I'm earlobe shaming this girl. It's just, I just want to stop young people from doing this to themselves. Okay, yeah. I've seen how things sag.
Her name is Adrienne. She has a name. And I don't mind her, but what I did mind is she's like, like, I feel like the only time you have a hot brown is like right before a long nap. So I'm going to do like a lighter version. I'm like, no, it's, you're exactly right. Like, you have something like that late at night and then you go to sleep. So don't make it light. Like, put that gravy or grease or whatever, anything, put it all on there.
Yeah, but didn't she make like a really heavy one? She's like, I prefer to be lighter. So I'm going to make cream. I'm using cream, butter, and corn or something like that.
Yeah. So then, yeah, so Justin's doing like a Kentucky Fried hot brown with an egg yolk, which looks delicious. And then Eddie tells a story about driving down a highway and eating barbecue for 2 days straight with his wife, because they would like stop at a barbecue place and like drive and see another barbecue place, something like that, right?
Yeah, they'd eat barbecue and then talk about where else they were going on the way to the next barbecue place. And he was just like so happy in his fullness, you know? I mean, yeah. That's such a romantic, that's like the most romantic story I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm sure she was like, I'm sick of eating barbecue right now, but I'm going to do it because all he's doing is talking about barbecue. That's the only way to make him shut up.
Yeah, probably. So then Jersey, for whatever reason, they showed the guy from Jersey doing like this slow motion running.
I noticed that.
I thought that was so funny. It's so random.
I noticed that too. I was like, ooh, slow motion hot brown making. Things are getting real intense up in here.
I had to like look again to make sure it was slow motion. I was like, is this just a slow chef? Because I like when they have slow chefs and they make them run and they're like, I cannot run. Remember last season they had that guy who was so tired?
Bruce could like not make it from the pantry to his, he would have to like ask for help. He's like, can you carry this tray to the thing? Yeah, thanks. So so Eddie's making a speck and turkey salad with cheddar speck cracklins, which sounded like not like something I'd want to have late at night. And then Brian, the Jersey guy, is making hot turkey. And then Sarah is making a scotch egg with ground pancetta and turkey. And then Kelsey makes like a croque madame or madam, whatever she called it.
Croque madame. I'm in France, okay? And I had a croque madame. And now I own a sandwich shop and we have a croque madame on my menu. Wow,
she acts like it's so fucking exotic. Okay.
Kelsey is a sleeper, and she bugs me because she's doing that Southern thing where she's like, "I am such a nice girl," and I'm like, "That girl's evil."
That makes me like her.
I think she's evil. Yeah, me too.
She is evil, and that's actually what makes me like her. Like, I liked when she yelled at someone for taking her biscuits out of the oven. She's like, "These aren't done," you know. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that she came in here just like, you know, like typically on this show, like a really blonde chef, like never a blonde pretty chef does not do well on this show. I don't know why. It just, we never see that work out. And she's doing well. And I'm like happy for that because she's like bucking the expectations.
Yeah. Well, I think that the thing that sticks in my head about her is that she started by going, "I'm the only chef here who's had a baby by choice." Like, what? What? I've never been able to forget that. So anyway, yeah, Croak Madame. And then we get to Whispering Michelle.
Name for baby, too.
Yeah, I named my baby Croak. By choice. By choice.
By choice. Madame Croak. Madame Croakwatery.
I kissed the croak out of that baby.
Get with the, get the croak out of you.
So then Michelle is whispering. She's like, "I'm making turkey with smashed potatoes." Wow.
My mom used to make breakfast, so I thought I'd like to have some breakfast, and I thought I'd put some turkey on the breakfast, and so I'm making breakfast and turkey.
Yeah, some of their reasons. I get that that's the thing by now. You know, I get it. That they're like, okay, tell a story. Tell a personal story to make this personalized so we can get you a chef agent. So they're all like, here's the story of why I make potatoes or whatever.
Yeah.
But they all do it, and it makes me crazy. Napoleon Dynamite's like, "We ate hot chicken growing up." Everyone ate hot chicken growing up, okay?
Yeah. Well, except me. I still have never had Nashville hot chicken. I'm still so mad that our hotel was across the street from like the most famous hot chicken place in Nashville, and we didn't have time to go there. Actually, we had time. It's just like I did not want to have hot Nashville chicken shits during our live show. So it was really a service to everyone. Yeah, to everyone.
So Sarah is making sausage. Right?
Yeah, she's making a scotch egg, which is basically an egg wrapped in sausage. But she doesn't have – it's like a lot of stuff she has to do. And she gets behind, and one of her sausages – one of her eggs is not like cooked yet, but she has another one. So she goes to check the other one, and she like literally like pulls it out of the deep fryer and like is like holding it and slices it in half. And Padma's like, "Time's up, hands down, utensils up," or whatever it says. "Utensils down, hands up." Mm-hmm. So – and her egg does not make it onto the plate.
Yeah, she's like, "It's shameful and embarrassing." Also, yeah, she's obsessed with sausage today, which I didn't notice until I'm rereading these notes.
Yeah, she was super into sausage, and it did not work out for her in either challenge. So she presents her dish. She's like, "Sorry, ladies." And Padma goes, "Oh, no. Well, she can't win." Just sort of like Gail at pretty much anything. Am I right, girls? Bless her heart.
It's like Gail in a dressing room. She just can't win.
It's like Gail chucking a chicken bone at a bowling alley. Just won't get that strike for you, Gail.
So then we start with Justin, and he made Kentucky Fried Breakfast Brown. And Lena's like, "This is the best things in the world on one plate." Fried shit, potato shit. It's like all the best shit. And I was like, God, this girl's not kidding. Because sometimes they come in and they're like, "I want junk food." And then they get junk food and they're like, "That is so rich."
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true.
But yeah, Lena is true to her word.
Yeah. So then Eddie brings up his like little speck salad, and Pam is like eating it, and she's like, "Eddie, where is the turkey?" And I'm not talking about Gail. She's up in New York.
He's like, "It's mixed in." She's like, "Ugh." Padma's faces today were some of the best of the season, I have to say. She gave a confused face on this one. And yeah, it was wonderful. She like does confused face where she does like puts the food on her tongue and she's like, like it's peanut butter.
Yeah, her face was going out of control. She's like, "I can't believe you served this mediocre dish to my friend, Lena Waithe."
"By the way, does anybody know of a decent Botox place in all of Kentucky?" It's like, maybe that's why her face is moving, you know? She's not used to being cut off like this.
So then Brian, he's like, he served them this Nashville hot chicken, hot brown, whatever. And Lena Waithe is like, I gotta admit, I don't like white meat very much. And Pamela's like, yeah, my friend doesn't like white meat, and neither do I, because she's my friend, and we both like like and hate the same things. It could be a little dry, Brian.
And Napoleon's like, oh, it's just the first thing I grabbed, so... She's like, what are you, Gail now? That's how we had to take Gail to the hospital for the first time for swallowing a Lego.
You should have seen the first time she ever went into a Whole Foods. She just cleared out the entire Dan and yogurt section. It's the first thing she grabbed.
Her response was, they told me to eat whole food. She ate the whole store. Okay, so Eric is, he's like, I made a 3 a.m. hot brown, which, you know, I mean, that's a good name, considering the challenge is like 3 a.m. hot brown.
He likes naming things. Like, I think it was when they had to do their cocktail challenge, was that last week? Yeah, he made his, like, 12-mile oyster. He likes to add, like, descriptive elements that are, like, actually kind of pretentious, but for some reason work.
Yeah. I just got an emergency email.
Oh, should we pause?
No, it's an emergency we can share. We got it from our booker. It says, hello, broken birds. We'd love to get this one turned around and announced on sale today. Are you okay with that? We can shoot over the link as soon as it's ready. And shall we announce what the link is? Because I don't even know.
Yeah, my email's still loading, so you just say it all. Say what's happening.
As you know, we confirmed a second Cincinnati show. Okay, so we had already kind of announced this. Okay, so it wasn't an emergency email. So we are sure doing a second Cincinnati show the same day earlier. We're going to do a daytime show, because why not? Let's get day drunk.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it.
Love it, Lestat. Go get your ticket, Cincinnati. Okay, yeah. So Eric's making a 3 a.m. hot brown.
Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe something we can get in Cincinnati. I don't know. And then Brandon is making one that has like eggplant in it, and which I don't know. I thought it actually did. Like, I feel like late at night, like if I'm gonna have like a turkey thing, I don't know if I want like eggplant and cauliflower all over it. And Pam is like, "Thank you for that vegetable. It's the first one we've seen." Hint, hint, everyone. What do you think about that, my friend?
Like, I don't like vegetables. Exactly. Thanks a lot for the vegetables, is what I meant to say.
Please don't confuse my sincerity for my sarcasm. I was being sarcastic because my friend doesn't like those vegetables.
So Kelsey's like, have I mentioned I've been to France? Croque Madame, hot brown, blah, blah. And Padma's like, I don't know if I'd call this decadent.
I mean, I'm sure Gail would still eat it, but I don't know. It's not worth the calories to me.
So David made turkey tenders, and Padma gives our favorite shade. Did you want this sauce to be that creamy? And he goes, yeah, to be decadent. And then they make a, like, ching sign as Kelsey gives him a dirty look. Like, I have been to France. How dare you? You decadent against me.
What do you think, Lena Waithe, my friend?
Oh, wait a minute. That's your last name? I thought this was Lena Dunham. Can we please get my real friend in here? Lena Horne, anybody? Who is
Lena?
This?
Lena Horne. My friend, Lena Horne.
So, turkey tenders, creamy sauce. So they're like, what is this? What is this ham? I see ham on here. And Michelle's like, it's turkey ham. Oh, I almost dinged you.
I wanted to ding you, but I was scared. It's sort of like a Grubhub delivery man dinging up to Gail's apartment.
So the worst was Sarah, for obvious reasons, because they couldn't taste it. Sorry, Sarah. And
you
then Brian had
now.
Some dried chicken.
Yeah.
And Kelsey, unfortunately,
had the vinaigrette.
And who?
I'm saying Kelsey had the vinaigrette that was not decadent.
Yes, it wasn't. It wasn't very 3 a.m. after a night at the club. I was like, wait a minute, is this 3 a.m. after a night at the club or 3 a.m. after work? Which is it? Because those are two different things.
Yeah, exactly. So the top was Justin and Eddie, and Eddie is like smiling. And so Pavan goes, "You're smiling. Is that your happy face? I normally can't tell because you normally look like such a troll. Isn't that right, Lena? My best friend? No."
Oh, it's so nice to see your wooden teeth. So glad you could smile. Hope we see it again, Eddie.
Eddie, you have some corn kernels in your teeth. Oh, wait, those are your teeth. Zing! Up high, best friend, up high.
Whoever has the best corn nut smile wins.
Oh, I guess we're awarding the winner to whoever has the best Scrabble piece smile.
Triple word score goes to Eddie for smiling.
But he actually doesn't win.
That is a Justin. 7-letter score. You see, I'm a very smart recapper, guys. Okay, so Justin wins, and he's like, "Oh, can I give you a hug? Blessed hands, blessed hands."
Padma's like, "Don't you dare touch my best friend. Get your own."
She's like, "Now it's time to break things down. Literally. Ha, ha,
ha,
ha."
Today's challenge has to do with all the enzymes in Gail's stomach.
Welcome to the probiotic challenge, Nancy Silverton.
So Nancy comes out. She's like a robot. She's like a robot woman. She comes out and she starts talking about Kentucky's emerging culinary scene and how every region has something different. And so this challenge, they're going to be using a bunch of local ingredients. And on top of that, Kentucky is the largest producer of beef east of the Mississippi. So they're going to be incorporating beef. Well, beef is going to be the star of the show.
Yes. Mozza. We love mozza. We go to mozza. Yeah. That's right down the restaurant.
In fact, Nancy's restaurant is where my dad got into a fight with the host, and I was mortified.
It's also where Catherine from Southern Charm ordered prosciutto and melon, and it came out with huge slices of melon, like quartered melon with tons of prosciutto wrapped. It was the weirdest prosciutto and melon I've ever seen, I have to say. I dinged you for that, Nancy.
Nancy, did you mean to have so much prosciutto on your melon?
Did you mean to force me to give Catherine half of my food?
Skinny Gail is here to tell you about the challenge.
Tina Brandt. Okay, so Padma's like, they say it's better than bluegrass. And Nancy's like, shut up, Padma. No one knows what you're talking about, okay?
Yeah.
She's like, kids, using socially conscious local foods is a trend.
Yeah.
Actual food from the ground.
Yeah. So so they have to make this dish centered around a cut of meat using local ingredients and stuff. And Padma's like, I see some happy faces, some not so happy faces, some bewildered faces, and is someone FaceTiming Gail? Oh wait, that's just a gourd in the corner.
Have happy faces, sad faces, and whatever Sarah's doing with her face. There's like
I see some happy faces, some sad faces. Oh, look, there's Hannah Gadsby. Oh, wait, that's Brian.
Well, guess what? We're all blessed because a good friend of mine, Dario Pacini, who's an 8th-generation butcher, will be the judge.
Yeah, so they're all going to go meet Dario, and they're like, whoa, Dario. So they're gonna go see him, but first they have to go to Whole Foods to go create chaos in that store once again. And all I wrote down from the Whole Foods scene is Adrian is from Connecticut. She's like, I'm from Connecticut.
Yeah, she's like, I grew up on a 60-acre farm, and it's not a dairy farm now, but we do still raise animals for our own consumption. I was like, Rosa! Okay, and then also...
Sounds like it's worse than a dairy farm.
I had to mention that back at the thing when she was like, Dario Pacini, or whatever. Everyone's all excited. Have you noticed that Kelsey does this thing where she's always trying to play to the camera, but everyone's ignoring her? I think everyone thinks she's thirsty.
Because I did not know this.
She's like, Daria, we'll meet you at Deca. And then they cut to Kelsey, like, looking at, who's next door? Oh, Jersey. She's looking at Jersey like, oh, oh. Like, they're being excited together, but he's looking straight ahead.
He's just thinking about what kiss ass thing he's going to say to Dario. He's like, I've used a lot of my grade A material on Tom and Padma and Nilu and Nancy and Eric Repair.
I need to come up with a compliment for butterfly clip hair clips for Nancy.
Something about how her hair reminds me of focaccia in the best way. Maybe that'll work.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. So they're driving, and Sarah's freaked out because she got the plate cut.
Yeah.
And she's like, of course I don't know how to use a fucking plate cut. Like, my husband's a farmer. Oh, I only do porters. God damn it.
Yeah. And Eddie is talking about how he takes butchering very seriously and that he once saw a lecture that Dario did. And he's like, he spoke about the art of butchering to the point where it was almost spiritual. I was like, you know what? Shut up, Eddie. I can't. Just like his only saving grace, as far as I can tell right now, is that he does not have like a pig tattoo or a tattoo of like a filet mignon, you know, but like he's getting there.
I like that it's spiritual. I like that it's kind of like Avatar, where they're like, thank you, turkey. Thank you for this life you've given us. Strangle the turkey and like throw some mustard on it and just swallow it whole.
So Brandon, so at Whole Foods, yeah, Brandon wants to do tuna tartar. Not tuna tartar. He wants to do like a steak tartar or beef tartar. And then David wants to do that also. So it's like, ooh, tartar off. And Brandon's like, you know, I've cooked steak in the past and it's put me in the middle and I just don't want to cook steak again. So I'm just going to serve it
on
raw.
The steak with challenge.
Minimal effort. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. This does not sound like a good idea, but he's one of those people with such self-confidence that I believe that they're going to win because I mean, I believe people like that when they're like, I'm going to win American Idol. I have been training for this since I was a baby. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to win. And then they get up there and they're like,
slowly
I can't
adopted.
Wait to grow up.
I got plans to glow up. Mama said it ain't easy. So, David, meanwhile, Jersey, is like, I want to show Tom that someone else from his hometown has the it factor. I'm like, how about you show Tom someone from his town has the quiet factor?
Yeah, how about don't get in any more hot tubs and stop sweating on things, jerk?
Well, that wasn't Justin. He did get in the hot tub.
Never mind. He was with them, and he's also sweating on things, which also
gross.
Eddie did today.
Gross.
And he's never going to live it down. The internet's like, fuck him.
So but Brian then there's like a moment where Brian talks about how his love of cooking food comes from his dad and his dad died. And now he wants to carry on his dad's legacy, which usually means that you're going to be in the bottom, if not kicked off. So I was like, okay, this is bad news for him.
Well, also he's not carrying on his dad's legacy. Okay. I don't know where this guy has heard of legacies, but he's like, my love of meat came from my dad. He was a traveling salesman and was gone all the time. But on the holidays he smoked stuff. So I want to carry on his legacy. Then be a traveling salesman.
Yeah. It's like,
you're doing it wrong. Sorry, who am I to judge, but you're carrying the legacy wrong, okay? Incorrect.
I know, it's like,
start over.
Yeah, my mom made me fish sticks, you know, a bunch of times when I was a kid. And like, if I make fish sticks now, I don't consider that like, I'm carrying on my mother's legacy, the fish sticks.
I would like to present this award to my mother's legacy, soggy tuna sandwiches on white bread. Thank you for all you've done, mother.
Thank you. So now they go to this restaurant, Deca, where Dario is there with Nancy. And Dario is basically like, mamma mia, meatball, carne, carne, carne. And he's like butchering and stuff.
And he is standing there like a video game character with like the knife and the sharpener. He's like, carne! Like just screaming like a crazy person.
He seems like a 99-cent app, you know, like you have to like drop things on him before he like carves up your like beautiful cow.
Yeah, carne! What's that fruit game? Fruit ninja or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like carne ninja. Carne, 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 carne.
Carne Wilson.
Carne Wilson. Yeah, he's always like the lowest. He's always the baseline.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. You just got to raise me.
Hold on for one Russian. More day. Hold on. Hold on. One more day. Hold on. Carne.
Cheesecake and the one I also am good with cheesecakes.
So Nancy, it was funny that Nancy's standing next to him while he's looking like a fucking serial killer, because she looks like Kathy Bates in American Horror Story this previous season, who was like best friends with the serial killer, or like the mom to the serial killer. And I was like, ooh, crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, Nancy Silverton's just waiting for her checks, and she lost everything with Bernie Madoff. She's like, okay, just gotta stand here and wait for Bravo to give me a check so I can move on with my life.
Those 9 pounds of prosciutto don't wrap giant melons by themselves, guys.
So now they all, so basically Dario breaks up all the cow into like large cuts, and then they have to go, the chefs have to take their cuts and like cut them down further. So Brian, who is a butcher, he brings his beautiful prime rib and he's basically cuts it into tiny little pieces, and everyone's like, you're a butcher, what are you doing? Which makes sense. At first I was like, that's shocking, but then I realized it makes sense because he's probably trying to show off his technique and being able to like cut the meat off and everything like that. So I was like, okay, you're dumb,
right? And it's one of those things you don't know when the judges are going to turn on you, because yeah. I feel like in any other season or any other challenge they would have been like, wow, you butchered this yourself, how beautifully done, there's not an ounce of fat on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stunning. And this one, they're like, there's not an ounce of fat on it.
It's stunning. What an omission of judgment you had. So Eric has to braise some beef cheeks. Now, my question is, were there no like pressure cookers? Because I feel like, you know, I feel like these chefs always set themselves up for failure when they have to do these long braises and they decide to do it in like 25 minutes. I'm like, I think it's time to get involved with pressure cookers on this show. Maybe some Instant Pots, you know?
They used to do a lot of pressure cooking on this show because it seems for a while like it was turning into a pressure cook show. Because everything is like, who can pressure cook the best?
I have like a distinct memory. I think it was like in Top Chef Las Vegas. There was this one dude who I felt like tried to pressure cook something, and then his pressure cooker was like, he couldn't open it because it was like under massive pressure, and he was like banging it and everything. It was like a source of high drama. And I feel like after that, like no one touched pressure cookers anymore.
Yeah. Something must happen to sous vide machines too, because you don't see those much anymore either.
Yeah, everyone realizes it's not worth the effort. I think ever since that sous vide machine that Casey insisted that Carla use in the finale, and then Carla lost, and then Casey like had to write, you know, it basically tanked Carla's fortunes, and then like Casey, there was so much backlash that Casey had to like release a statement being like, it's not my fault that Carla decided to, like that Carla used the sous vide machine and she lost, and then Carla had to defend Casey. I think that was like sous vide machine's like darkest demise. Moment and never
the
like
darkest just, moment of the sous vide machine.
Yeah, it had to go away.
God, Casey even had to come back on the show to redeem herself for fucking up the sous vide machine, didn't she? Or was that the
only
time?
Yeah, and then she had like a crazy attitude, and I think she was there and gone. I don't know. Casey's an interesting one in the top of pantheon.
Yeah. But she was in the first season I ever recapped, season 2. So I'll always have a soft spot in my heart, Casey.
Nostalgia. You're carrying on Casey's legacy.
Oh, Casey TV gasms. So Jersey is like, he's a maestro. It's like, oh, shut up, kiss ass, okay? Can't hear you. Falling all over.
Maestro!
Himself. Maestro!
I know. He really is a kiss ass. Out of control.
Yeah. So then Michelle's like, he has a few words of English, but I think his favorite word is corny. Kelsey goes, he clearly loves meat.
I really want to. Yeah. You think, Kelsey? I wanted Michelle to introduce Dario to her grandmother. You know, she's like, I think he'd really fit in well with, you know, Mexico's most dangerous tribe, whatever it was, Ecuador.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's from like a gang or something.
Her grandmother is the shaman of like the most, I think it was, I don't know if it was Mexico, maybe it was Ecuador. I don't know. Now I just sound like a problematic white person. I can't remember countries.
Well, I'm with you because you said tribe and I said gang. I'm like making her grandma like El Chapo. So we're on the same
well,
page there.
She might be. Who knows? So that'd be amazing. I'd love that.
I'd That's like why you she speaks so quietly. 3 a.m. El Chapo sandwich, please.
I'll have Dario, an El Chop cheese, please. El Chapo cheese.
Yeah, so Dario holding his knives just like whips out his avatar thing. He's like, this is the life of cow. Every cut is good in life of cow. And basically, we see a whole slaughtered cow, which is gross. There, I said it. Okay. So Nancy's like, grab your cuts and get cooking. Are there cots here? Or am I just going to stand here all fucking day?
Could someone change my batteries, please? Thank you.
So, butchering. Michelle is making a braised chuck with white grits and hominy. And Jersey has decided that for his tartare, he can't just do a tartare. So he's going to cold smoke the steak before chopping it.
I was like, okay. And then Sarah, meanwhile, was like, well, I don't know what a plate is. I don't know what this is. So I'm just going to make sausage. But these casings, I don't know what's going on with these casings. Oh, my God. Maybe I should just make the scotch egg again. Yeah, but take longer this time.
Yeah. And Justin is just mortified by the tartare guys. He's like, what are they doing?
He's like, anti-blast.
Yeah.
He's like removing his hands, standing up straight. He's doing it in reverse.
Backwards blessed.
He's
like, undo blessed. Poor Eric. You know, some of the people really do get screwed here. I don't know how bad to feel for Sarah, because hers at least looked like meat. But Eric has to make cheek and tongue. Gross.
Yeah. I mean, those are hard cuts. I mean, like, that's why I was like, you, like, really look into a pressure cooker. I mean, cheek, yeah. Cheek is, like, not the best. I mean, whatever. It's tough, as he said. So that sucks. And then Eddie, meanwhile, has, like, he has brisket, so he decides to chop it up and roll it up into romaine. It's supposed to be cabbage. It's like making a Polish dish, but he's like, but I want to make something lighter, so I'm going to use romaine. So I'm like, okay, does it make things a lot lighter when you switch from cabbage to romaine? I mean, like, is that? I feel like it's kind of a lateral move, maybe.
I feel like, well, cabbage is much thicker, so I get that. Like, it's much of a maybe. Chewier bite. Does romaine even cook up? I was surprised when I saw them and they actually were still together, because I thought romaine would just disappear.
I know. I just for some reason I just thought it was funny. Like, I'm good. Let me go lighter. It goes from cabbage to romaine. But yeah, no, you're probably right, because it's just thick enough that I probably have to braise longer, which means it gets greasier or whatever. Okay, I take it back, Eddie. I take it back.
No, but calorie wise, I mean, lettuce is lettuce, you know. And Eddie's like, I grew up in a Polish Irish neighborhood. That's why I'm doing this. And then they show a picture of him as a teenager with like a huge. A chop,
piece of raw
like
meat.
A raw chop that he's like putting in his mouth. And I was like, oh, I'm going to frame this for Ben.
I was like, judgment issues, judgment. Yeah. I was like, no. So then now it's time for Tom to drop by. So Tom shows up like, hey, chefs. And Nancy's just next to him. And Nancy goes, hello.
He's like, wow. Well, we got Nancy to come in here so I could look like I have energy. So, yeah. You know, thanks, Nancy.
So, Brandon and David, you guys are both standing next to each other, and you guys both look like you're doing something terrible. Tell me what you guys are going to do. Like, well, we're actually going to both do tartare. He goes, okay. Why? sort of like the question I asked my son when he said he was going to be a mixologist.
And the douche is like, I use tips from Tenderloin and New York Strip. And he's like, well, you're making it worse every word you say. So, congrats
sounds
on
like a...
wasting your life, and your mother and I will always love you, but we'll never quite understand you, so carry on.
Yeah, sounds like a missed opportunity to me, sort of like being the son of a world-class chef and deciding to become a mixologist instead. Yeah.
Should have roasted that baby whole, which is what I told my wife when we found out my son was going to waste his. So
guess I should have kissed the shit out of him when I had the chance.
So then Napoleon's like, oh, I'm doing a ribeye, with a vinaigrette. And Tom's like, you don't seem like a raspberry vinegar kind of a guy. Uh-huh. No offense. Where is that? I don't even know anymore.
Sounds sort of like a mixologist kind of vibe, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Otherwise known as a, martini. So, great.
Nancy just standing there like, I'm bored.
He's like, I'm so excited. I got a ribeye. She goes, seems like you really love butchering.
They like, told me to say something, okay?
He goes, yeah, I actually go to the butcher shop and work on my days off. It's like, that's called a second job, buddy. Okay? It's like anti-charity work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, on my days off, I go to kill animals. That's what I do. Super fun.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we all have our hobbies. Mine's board gaming, and his is just, you know, putting a cleaver to an animal. Yeah.
So, let's see. So the judges gather. Padma is, it looks like she used, like, Ellie Clampett as a curling iron and just went to town on herself. I'm not really sure what Padma's doing, but I love it.
There's a former Top Chef contestant. She appeared in that commercial with Gail a few weeks ago. I forget her name. I barely even remember her on the show. But clearly someone told Padma right before she sat down, like, by the way, the woman sitting, like, across from you is a former contestant. Padma's like, don't worry, I got this. Hi, person from the past. I wish I could give you a kiss, but I can't reach you. So here's an air kiss. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Okay, I finished that contractual obligation. Let's move on.
Unfortunately, I'm walking poodles with my neck. I'll stop next time to say hello.
Oh, they said a friend from my past was going to be here. I was expecting it to be my good friend, Lena Wade. But it's just you.
So Nancy's like, this is wonderful. And Dario, there's also a butcher at the table who butchered this cow. And Dario's like, farmer, thank you. I can see this cow had happy life. I'm like, well, that's nice. It doesn't that make it even sadder when they get killed?
And she's like, thank you. That means a lot to me. I'm like, I'm sure it probably would have meant more to the cow. So meanwhile, back in the kitchen, there's a full-on disaster because Brandon is making he's making a sauce for his tartare, and he's got like a bottle of like grapeseed oil, and he's like, it's like a squirt bottle, and he's squirting it into a blender, and then the top comes off, so just like all the oil just like falls into his sauce, which is, I like laughed. I feel bad, but I laughed because it's something that would totally happen to me, and I feel like it probably has happened to me. And you would think that he would just like scrap the sauce and start over, but instead he's like, well, I don't know how much grapeseed oil went in there, so I'm just going to use some xanthan gum to bring the sauce together.
Oh,
I kind of feel like, just in general, this is sort of goes along with the sous vide machine. Like, if you're busting out the xanthan gum or a frozen scallop on Top Chef, just pack up your knives already. Just
yeah,
don't.
But do you
don't
remember, I think it was last season, wasn't that like another Southern, which was the last Southern one they did? Anyway, the last one, some guy made mac and cheese, and he had to do it for like a huge, it was one of the ones where they had to feed like 100 or 200 people, and he made mac and cheese, but it wasn't coming out right, and he used xanthan gum, and Tom was like, this is delicious. What is this?
Oh, I don't remember
xanthan
that.
Gum, and that's the only time I've ever seen it work, and I was like, that can't happen twice, that someone like compliments xanthan gum on accident, you know?
Well,
Tom
I also
was probably
feel
like, you better tell me when there's a xanthan gum again, because I look like a goddamn idiot, and I'm not coming back to set if I look this stupid again. Got it?
Yeah. Well, the other thing is I feel like mac and cheese is like a big, hearty dish, comfort food, so I feel like in a weird way it could probably handle a xanthan gum moment. But when you're serving like a delicate tartare, you know, texture is like so important because you're eating raw meat. You don't want anything off-putting. So, like, if you're introducing xanthan gum to tartare, I don't even know what xanthan gum really is. I just know that it just doesn't sound like it should ever be with tartare.
Well, it's in every processed food. It's just a thickener. It's used in everything. It's a white powder. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So, and gooey, like they said. Yeah. So, yeah. Also, tartare is like the easiest thing to make, and he didn't even have his own oil. Because did you notice? He was like, Kelsey, can I take your oil? She's like, nah. And he took it and just...
Then
he spilled it all over
that.
Himself, which or all
Perfect.
Over his food, which was funny because he wasn't even prepared with the proper oil, you know?
Exactly. So now they serve, the first batch serve, and Brandon and David serve their tartare. So Brandon serves his, and Tom just immediately starts furrowing his brow, and he goes, Brandon, what's this thickness coming from? And Padma's like, oh, someone must be FaceTiming Gail.
And he's like, xanthan gum. And then the look on Gail's face, I mean, on Padma's face, was hysterical. She literally dropped her head and went clucked at him.
She got xanthan gum. That's the most disgusting thing I've heard since the time I found out that Gail once ate a VHS tape as an appetizer.
Be kind, rewind. Am I right, Gail?
She once tried to serve me cream of cassette tape soup.
So let's see. So now we have the okay, so Asian style tartare, and then Jersey did the round cut tartare, confit and Dijonnaise.
Confit of local onions. I'm like, just say onions, please.
Yeah, you already lost me with Dijonnaise. Okay.
Yeah. So they, of course, they hate Brandon's sauce, et cetera. And then Nancy doesn't like David's jersey's texture because it reminds her of ground hamburger meat.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And then the farmer's like, I can't taste my meat. I can't taste it. A cow died for this, people. But also I have to point out about Brandon's is it wasn't only the oil and the texture. It only tasted like onions. And then just to bring it on home, they showed a regular person. She's like, there's so much garlic. I can't.
Wait, that was David's. You mean that was David's? Because Brandon's the other issue is that there was also too many things like asparagus and things like that on the tartare.
Oh, I put it for
right.
I put it for.
But it doesn't matter.
Brandon.
It's a big tartare mess.
Brandon is the one with too much asparagus.
Oh,
right?
Maybe. Yeah, Brandon had too much. I don't remember what the garlic was then.
Yeah.
Either way, they both made two terrible tartars.
Yeah. Dueling tartars. You both lose. So Justin versus Adrienne.
Yeah, so Justin makes a flank steak with like polenta and carrot puree, and Adrienne makes a black and blue sirloin. That's like a play on local like things because we use some local
blackberries and blue or something. Cheese.
Yeah, blue cheese. Yeah,
so it's like black and blue and black and blue.
So they really like Adrienne's steak. And Graham thinks that Justin's dish is like nicely composed. And then the cow lady is like, you know what? Like, as an owner of a former cow that we're now eating, I just want to say, I'm just like waiting for like a big bone with beef on it we could just dig our teeth into. Just see Padma being like, well, we did have a bunch of those, but Gail was here before us, apparently.
Thanks a lot for joining us, my good friend Wilma Flintstone. So the farmer is like, so the farmer says that, and then Sarah's in the back, and she's like, these sausage casings are thick. Gah. I noticed the texture was soft, so I seared them, and Napoleon Dynamite's across from her, finishing, and then here we go. Now it's Napoleon Dynamite versus Sarah.
Yeah, and you know, I was bracing because before Napoleon Dynamite went out, he asked Eddie what he thought, and Eddie's like, needs more salt, and I was like, watch the judges say that this is too salty. Watch. Watch.
I know. And he was even like, are you sure? He's like, yep, I'm sure. And I was like, oh no, he's going to fuck over.
But that actually did not happen. Did not come to fruition. Brian's was shitty just on its own merits. Salt was the least of its issues.
Yes. It turns out that by you need more salt, Eddie means that is terrible. Start over.
Yeah, so Sarah and Brian serve. Sarah serves her like very sad sausage situation, and at least she had the awareness to know that hers was bad because then Brian serves his thing too, and Graham is just like, they're just getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and now they're just like furious. And Padma goes, "What happened to the rest of the cow? Don't answer that, Gail. Don't."
And they eat, and she goes, "I'm underwhelmed."
That was my favorite. She's like, I'm underwhelmed.
And I feel like Daria's like, well, to be fair, the cut she used was the most difficult cut. And sausage, good idea. Now Brian's dish, I'm confused. Call me! So Tom's like, well, you know, I don't even know how you cook meat this poorly. You butchered a whole animal. And then now you're shaky, shaky, shaky. Throw it up in the air, cast you, pour a martini. And call it a pookie dookie. I just don't understand the world anymore. Okay, kids, what's the matter with kids today? All right.
Just you wait and see, huh? So, you know, I mean, you butchered a whole animal. It should be a celebration. Instead, you know, we're just sort of sitting around wondering how many more times we got to help pay my son's electricity bill while he makes a gin and tonic for people.
So, Michelle and Eddie, you're next. And she made her, what did she make? Beef?
I made a beef chuck. It's sort of a traditional style, and in the style of like beef chuck with vegetables. So yeah.
I wrote beef cuck, like that's the weirdest misspelling because I was like, what is it? It's like she made an alt right beef.
Hi, this beef is alt right. Yeah, she made
like, this beef is calling you a cuck. So yeah. Enjoy.
And then Eddie served his galumpki. Which just feels like it'd be like how I would describe him. He's just a big galumpki, you know?
Yeah.
So, and they love it. Well, they love Eddie's galumpki. And they think it's such an interesting use of brisket and stuff like that. But Michelle's chuck is dry and the grits are coagulated.
Yeah. So then Eric's cheeks aren't braised all the way. And he's like, well, I hope they see the direction I was trying to go in, which had me worried for him.
Yes.
And then Kelsey did a shank with a carrot puree.
With saffron.
And what?
With saffron, which is important because because Top Chef girl was like, all I taste is a saffron bomb.
Oh yeah, it's like saffron bomb.
So Eric brings this thing out and he's like, well, what we have here is we have a beef cheek and then I made a mousse out of the tongue and yada yada yada, and they're like, a mousse from the tongue, where is it? And he's like, well, you see those little microscopic dots, the one that's under the leaf there? Yeah, that's it. She's like, the mustard looking dot, that tiny little speck. I'll tell you who wouldn't like this. My good friend Lena Waithe.
And Tom was like, you know, the cheek is okay, but the spices, whoa. And dots of tongue? I mean, what is that? And Graham goes, I've never heard of liquefied tongue.
You should hang out with Gail more. You'd be amazed what she can put in her Vitamix.
You've obviously never been with Gail when she dropped a bite of ice cream down a garbage disposal. Oh, God. So Daria's like, today is another dad. And he's like, listen, farmer lady, today we're celebrating the sacrifice your heifer made. And Padma's like, yes, congratulations, Gail.
Oh, wait, someone killed Gail? That's not nice.
God. Okay, so Sarah's like, that's it. I'm going home. I'm in the bottom. I am done. Stick a fork in me. I'm done, right? Unlike my sausage. Goddamn sausage. I should have known better. My husband's a farmer.
That was actually the original lyric to Richard Marx's song. Should have known better. My husband was a farmer, and it all because of you. Anyway, so now it's judging, and Tom's like, chefs, you know, today was just like a lot of missed opportunities. It was like you all decide to sign up for a mixology school, acting like that's some big accomplishment, when any podunk wannabe actor can do it in, you know, 3 hours' time. Okay? Big missed opportunity.
So Jersey, when they're still talking, the Jersey guy tells the douche guy, he's like, yeah, Tom was not happy that we both did tartar. Like, he had this, like, tone of voice, like, oh, now we're in trouble because you did tartar when I was already doing tartar, you know?
I'm like, you guys had so much advance notice that he would be unhappy. And if there's any dish that you could change course on, I feel like it's a tartar because it's uncooked.
Yeah, you could literally have chosen to cook it.
You could literally just cook it into something else. Like... You guys literally had a get out of jail free card.
Yes, and you lost it. So then Padma gives robot eyes, which you know is going to be a bad judge's table, because Padma's like, bzzz. She's just like sitting there with her poodle hair looking like she's going to kill somebody.
You know what I miss, by the way? I miss the days when they would sit in the stew room and Padma would walk in and be like, we'd like to see fat person, tall person, other fat person. Now they just walk in.
Ex-heroin addict, we'd like to see you now. Person with a bacon tattoo, you as well.
Person who spoke to their child today on the phone, you.
I'm dinging you for kissing the shit out of your baby on national television.
Still too decadent in the love department. Yeah, so Tom is upset
everyone's
because...
Everyone's mortified.
Yeah, Tom's like, oh, it's supposed to be a celebration of searing and smoking and roasting and cooking and laughing and going on to the next chapter of your life and following your father's legacy. And I don't mean your father's legacy, Brian. I'm talking about a real legacy, like the legacy of the Kraft family of restaurants.
Not the cheese. Okay, Padma? And Padma's like, okay, the tops are Justin, Adrian, and Eddie, even though that was a stretch. The rest, please step to the side and think of the life you wasted.
Yeah. So they heap praise on these guys. I didn't write anything down about what they said with the praise. Did you?
I did, because some of it cracked me up. Tom's like, okay. Justin, you put together a decent dish. I like my flank steak medium. Like, they're struggling to come up with nice things to say. And Nancy goes, yeah, marinating your steak made it tender. Yeah, Nancy. Yeah, that's generally why people that's marinate so things.
Wow, congrats. Like, let's congratulate the chefs on doing some very basic kitchen techniques.
Who's getting a paycheck today? The butterfly clips?
The fact that you put your steak on a plate to serve to us, genius.
Pretty much. And then Patton was like, Eddie, I thought your dish was tasty. Just kidding. Just wanted to see those teeth again. Was I lying, guys? Was I lying?
Look at them. They look like beads from Michaels. You know, crafting after this, Eddie.
Tom kind of laughs. He's like, huh, no one does contemporary Polish these days. I mean, well, I mean, it's a choice, you know, but, you know, at least you're doing something with the paycheck. And he's like,
I really appreciate, you know, I was afraid I'd be so full after yours, but that romaine lettuce leaf, wow, really kept me light on my feet.
Made it light. Wow.
Light lettuce.
So they liked Adrian's spicy, fruity dish. And Nancy's like, it certainly didn't lack flavor. I'll tell you that. I'm going to be thinking I'm having a heart attack for the rest of the day. But, you know, we had to pick someone. So thanks for being here, crazy earlobes.
So ultimately, Eddie is the winner. And he gets an autographed apron from Dario and an invitation to stage with him for a week in Tuscany. And Top Chef is going to send him over there. So he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So he's all happy. He's going to kiss the fuck out of that apron, that's for sure.
And Napoleon Dynamite is so mad. You just see, like, he's like sucking his teeth. He's like, So Patton's like, as I mentioned before, we were underwhelmed by the rest of you. You all missed the mark in some way.
It's like Gail going into Filene's basement. I'm like, Gail, how do you find the worst patterns in every single store?
So Tom is like, well, Napoleon Dynamite, loved your film, didn't grow up so great. How did your meat not have a bone? You know, you're scared, okay? You're cooking scared, and it's going to get you in trouble every time. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Yeah. You know, that's my advice. Just be yourself. Okay, every time they're themselves, you're like, well, you need to clean that up. Be someone else. Stop being yourself. You're disgusting. Stop it.
Listen, you know what? Like, you can't be scared. Cooking scared will get you right there in the bottom every single time. I mean, you're like thinking like a mixologist right now, okay? I need you to cook think like a chef. Okay?
Sarah, Dario said you and Eddie had the hardest. That said by someone else who's not me, why would you choose sausage? She's like, I wasn't happy with the casings. They weren't cooked, so I seared them. I wasn't happy with the end product. I'm so sorry.
I never said I was the best chef in the world, but give me credit for trying, will you?
Credit for trying to be the best sausage maker I could for two challenges in a row.
And Graham's like, well, when you saw the sausage wasn't good, why not get rid of it and start anew? I'm like, Graham, she just finished the sausage and she's got a plate in like 2 minutes. She can't just, you know.
And like, she ground the meat. Like, what else do you want? You want her to make you a little burger? I mean, come on.
And she's like, I should have just made meatloaf. And Padma goes, shoulda, woulda, coulda. You don't know how many times I have to tell that to Gail every time we get out of Weight Watchers.
Oh, God. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. And she's like, oh, Sarah. Because Sarah's already, like, crying, right?
Yes.
Because I was disappointed, especially when it came from you. These are global Kentucky products.
I mean, I'm disappointed in everyone, but definitely you, Sarah. You are the most disappointing person standing here. I mean, it's bad enough that your alleged husband is an alleged farmer, but that you're also from Kentucky, which is where we are right now, and you're not even Gail, and you still messed up.
I would like you to apologize to my good friend, Global Kentucky Products.
And also my other good friend, Miss Lena Waith, everyone. Come on out. Oh, she left. Okay.
So, let's see. So they get to the douche, and Graham's like, grapeseed oil, it made it slimy. And then he's like, yeah, I think it was the emulsifier, which is xanthan gum. And that's when Patton was like, still most disappointed in you, Sarah.
You are literally worse than xanthan gum in a tartar. Think about that.
Nancy's like, well, I've never used xanthan, whatever that is. But I'll tell you what, olive oil does the trick every time. These kids in their grapeseed oil.
She like drops the mic, just walks off. A little olive oil shade. I like Tom. His like his utter disgust. He's like, why xanthan gum? Why the hell?
And then Brandon's like, because what xanthan gum does is you put it with liquid, and then as you shake it or stir it, it makes things thicker. They're like, yeah, we know what it is.
That's what Nancy Silverton does. Yeah, and you know what? Olive oil does the same thing and tastes better.
Yeah. She's like, hi, I have a question here. Who's going to stand for olive oil? Anybody? Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Nancy Silverton. I've got a question. What planet do you think I was born on? Thanks.
So Tom's like, I'm going to be scratching my head for a long time over that one. Whoa. And Padma's like, they could all go home as far as I care.
I like to think of them all as little boxes that need to be shipped out of here and off to Gail's house. Get them out of here.
And then they all commit to this. They're just scared. Like, I guess so they can have an arc for the season, because it's not true. I don't think anybody on this cast is scared. Like, no one's like, oh, I just wish I could be myself. But they all jump on this. Nancy's like, they think to impress us, they have to have no bone or no fat, so it looks prettier. And Tom's like, like Napoleon Dynamite. He's afraid. He's scared. And I wish Brandon was afraid of xanthan gum, but, you know.
He's still so mad about that.
That's good, right?
And I like... And I like that Tom, at one point, he actually, he sort of, again, casually shades Sarah. He's like, I mean, look at Sarah. I mean, she doesn't do fine dining. I mean, she barely could do McDonald's, you know? And she's here trying to prove herself. Like, stay in your lane, girl. You know? Your lane is basically, like, you know, barely cooked chicken. With
Please stop on the side of the road. Okay, truck lane.
It's literally a truck lane.
But it's funny she's literally serving flapjacks on the side of the highway. Sarah, because he's like, Sarah doesn't even do fine dining meals, and she's trying to do fine dining. She did sausage. What are you talking about?
Well, but she served her sausage on like a little delicate like pedestal of something or another. It was like trying to be fancy sausage.
Oh my god!
Sausage and then Tom
is not fine dining people.
So then they come back in, and Tom does. I love Tom's little monologue. He's like, you know what, chefs? There are kids growing up this country who don't have resources, who are their parents work two jobs, and they barely have an education, and they don't know how beef is raised. And this is a travesty. As chefs, we need to shrink that gap between what kids know and how cows are killed. And that we have to honor those cows and the children who need to honor those cows too. And one of you just didn't do that enough. I'm like, okay, let's like relax on like the children, the children who don't know about butchering.
Yeah, that was definitely his like, well, we're going to submit this to the Emmy nomination committee. And let's just hope that someone stands for cows. Okay, great.
People think that cows are always laughing, but guess what? A lot of times they're sad, misunderstood, because no one knows how they're raised.
No one knows the life the cows go through.
It's like cuts to Lady Gaga singing that song. You don't know.
Poker face, poker face. Okay, so the douche is like, Padma's like, Brandon, you were the least respectful of heifers. Bye.
And then Tom calls him over, and you think Tom's gonna be like, no, great job. And like, you know, it just didn't work out for you this week. You think that's what he's gonna say? He's like, yeah, it's just really hard to get past that xanthan gum and that slime.
So then they're loving torturing these people. So Brandon's still not crying. So Padma's like, I'll get him in the voiceover, Tom. Tonight, Brandon's slimy tartare puts him in Last Chance Kitchen. Can he get rid of the powders and cook with actual food?
Or is he getting a one-way ticket back to the chocolate factory, where xanthan gum, I guess, is acceptable?
Oh my god, funny!
Oh my goodness, I'm literally about to explode from all this laughing. But first, let's go over to our Crappins mailbag.
Doer Ben.
All right, everyone, we got a brand new mailbag. It's very exciting. So let's start off with one of our all-time favorite mailbag asker questioner peoples, Michael Horn.
Well, hello, little Michael Horn.
Oh, I love that Michael Horn. He goes, hi, Since we haven't seen Melbourne and Cheshire in a while, and I greatly miss the accents, what do you guys think both the casts are up to right now?
Of Melbourne?
Yeah.
I think
Melbourne
Gina,
or Cheshire.
Oh my God. Cheshire has had so many seasons that we haven't seen. Thankfully, Melbourne only has one that we haven't seen, and they're about to shoot season 5. Bravo, where's Melbourne season 4? Are you just going to pretend that didn't exist? What's happening? I need it.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that Bravo is like down with still importing shows because they're now starting to show that show 100% Hotter, which was on Netflix. We talked about it. I talked about it briefly on a bonus episode where there are basically these three awful British people being like, you're ugly. We don't like the way you look. We're going to send you to a hardware store and you have to compare your skin to wood thinner, wood paint. And you have to see what shade of wood paint your skin is. And the people come back like, I thought I was attractive, but now I say I'm really not that attractive. And I feel really bad about my skin now. And this is very hard for me. I'm going to take off my lashes. It's like hilarious. So
they,
nasty.
They make them look like punk, but like clown punk or something at the end. I saw the commercial. I was very confused.
No, it's basically these like really trashy British people who have, they just look horrific. And then there's like a stylist, a makeup person, and like a hair person, and they like verbally berate this person. Then they make them do a humiliating task. You know, the Brits love doing humiliating things. And then they like transform them, and it's, you know, but it's like, it has like a real nasty streak to it. So it's sort of like really hilarious, but it's also, you feel a little uncomfortable. So anyway, Bravo is showing that in the mornings now on Fridays. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe on a slow week, we can throw a recap of that in because it's on Bravo.
Good Lord. Also, Temptation Island is going to be on Bravo Sunday.
It is? Oh, because it's on. Really? Because it was on USA. I recorded it. It was on USA. I guess it's in part of the Comcast thing.
Yeah, I need to watch that. So Gina's probably like, all right, we need to change up how we're doing these shows here. Because everyone's sick of me beating the housewives. I'm going to be on Temptation Island. On one island is going to be me. On the other will be my ultimate temptation. Bear a string.
And on a third island is going to be some cancer. And I'm going to say, listen, cancer, you get off this island right this instant. And guess what? The cancer is going to leave.
So what are they up to? Okay, so Gina is...
on Temptation Island.
On Temptation Island. Okay, we got her.
Janet's somewhere. She's on a farm. She's like, oh, chicken. Everybody wants to know where the chicken is.
Chicken.
Yeah, she said chicken so much that she got a chicken contract and now lives on a farm selling chickens.
You know, Gamble, you know, this is a huge error on my part. I did not even mention this on the podcast, and now it's late, and I don't have it available to me right now, but I'm going to get it ready for next week. I can tell you what Gamble is up to. Gamble is on Cameo, and I know this because Nico, our friend Nico, who we met in Chicago, got me a Cameo of Gamble wishing me a happy birthday, and she basically is like, oh, that's the band. Happy birthday. That's very happy. Oh, Wolfie, Wolf, as she falls off like her hoverboard. I gotta find that. I don't know where it is. I think it's on my Facebook wall.
That's hilarious that he did that. I love that.
It was amazing, and I'm so sorry, Nico. It's such an amazing gift, and I don't know why I did not like blast. I think I was just like, we were in Nashville, and I was like birthday partying and all this stuff. I just sort of like, I did not give it the love that it deserved, but it is so amazing, and I will definitely get it up on our social media.
That is funny. Okay, so then the one who kidnaps maids, I think she hired Lindsay Lohan to try and kidnap children in Ibiza for her because her cleaning lady left.
Yeah, and I think I also like to think that in Cheshire, that somewhere Darby is like whispering into a tree. She's like, speak up, Dob.
Stop talking to that tree, Darby.
Oh, what was the name of that woman who looked sort of like Mariah, but not quite? She was like, she's like, a ball of clover. I got a ball of clover. And I got a clover.
Yeah, that's when he's like, I'm like a snake. A man. I'm like
I have it here. Actually, I've got the audio clip right here. I'm going to play it just for old time's sake.
Okay. You can put a balaclava on, but he's still got a penis. You've not put a balaclava on that. And if he's going to use it, he's going to use it.
Literally makes no sense.
What was Magali's?
Magali's Magali.
Magali is Magali. She's Magali's like,
Magali's Magali.
Oh, God, I forgot her opening line. It was so funny. She's like, you don't mess with Magali. What was her thing?
Lian, whoa. Whoa.
Okay, what else is in that mailbag?
Wait, here's the Dobby clip. I have to play the Dobby clip because it's just so wonderful.
I just love perfection.
Why can't you just talk to me? Why do you have to tell me instructions?
Dobby, are you listening?
Okay, one more question. Let's see, Lori.
I forget that Dobby actually talks like that.
Yeah, we're
sometimes
like not
I just think we're making stuff up, you know, and it's not like that's like literally how she talks.
How she puts her paws off. Mama,
so
I have to have shove instructions.
Dobby, you're listening.
So Lori asks, hi, Lori. She goes, if wonky eye Andy Cohen decides to bring back one Bravo show in exchange for canceling one of the Housewives franchises, which show would you revive like a broken bed? And which one would you bid adieu to?
Well, I would have said, if this question were a couple of weeks ago, Jersey, get rid of it. But now I'm really enjoying Jersey, like legit enjoying the shit out of Jersey.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do that to Jers. So, God, which Housewives? Dallas has been good. God, OC has really been trying my patience, but yeah. I couldn't say get rid of it,
but honestly, I couldn't say get rid of something else over OC. I think right now, I think at the bottom are OC and Atlanta. And Beverly Hills had not an amazing season, but I feel like the season's going to be really good. So I couldn't justify saying OC, getting rid of OC over Atlanta, even though Atlanta's doing nothing. But I think that, like, I think I'd have to get rid of OC.
Yeah,
right now,
Atlanta has two new cast members, and they're missing a big cast member. So I think it's still pretty hilarious considering they're, you know,
yeah, Atlanta has
pain. But
much more
OC,
upside.
OC's had 2 years to suck. And then Tamara's son, Ryan.
Yeah.
That whole thing just happened where he was going against someone who refused to serve a transgender couple of cake or something. And he's like, when are people going to start just killing, offing these motherfuckers?
Yeah. Wow. Like, and then, yeah, it's
you're
like, just like
trash.
A big.
Why don't you go beat your wife some more? You
just
piece
like
of
a
shit.
Turd donut. Like, just. Yeah. Fucking yeah, exactly. He's a piece of shit. So yeah.
Yeah, so canceled.
But then bring back, I mean, you know, there's like, I mean, obviously Gallery Girls, right?
I would say Princesses over Gallery Girls.
Actually Princesses, yeah.
Actually, to make it fair, I would say, and of course we're giving all like the regular answers and I'm being tricky and not really picking one. So I guess I would say Princesses, but my second choice would be that Long Island one.
Oh my God, Blood, Sweat, Heels.
No, the lady.
Oh, wait, Blood, Sweat, and Heels, though, I would also like to have come back.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing
yeah,
with you.
No, I know. Secrets and Wives.
Secrets
and
Wives
is
yeah.
great. I loved Secrets and Wives. Secrets and Wives was so good.
Yeah, I would say Secrets and Wives. I would say get rid of OC and do Secrets and Wives.
What about, I might even controversially say, Kel on Earth.
Oh, yeah. People have been posting about Kel a lot lately. I've seen her.
There's. Yeah.
A lot of memes with her, and I'm down for that. But if we have to pick one, I'm going to say Secrets and Wives.
If it's hard. I almost feel like I don't, in a certain way, I want to say Gallery Girls still, but it's not going to be the same. And of course, I love Game of Crowns.
I need age brackets to stay the same. So even if they take off a Housewives, I want another Housewives like show. And I really think that. Secrets and Wives.
I think Secrets and Wives, yeah, because I think that the Princesses Long Island, I do love that show, but I feel like they're getting to an age where they're going to start wanting to have babies and stuff, and I'm not interested in going through that process. I want to see some, like, postmenopausal crazy ladies dressing like they're 32, like, dancing on tables at, like, the diner at Great Neck, and, like listening to Michael Bublé and thinking that they are, like, you know, listening to like Tyga, you know?
Yeah, or
that's
throwing
what
chandeliers off balconies or going hunting for gay men fucking in the bushes at Fire Island. I mean,
yeah.
You just can't beat that.
Paralyzed! I'm paralyzed!
Paralyzed!
Yeah, bring back Secrets and Wives. Secrets and Wives. Bring it back, everyone.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Watch What Crappens. Everyone, this has been a super fun week. We are doing a couple of videos for the next few weeks. Just go on Patreon to find those. I think next week will be a little different because we're leaving town Wednesday. So we'll announce what we're doing then. But remember that we have a second Cincinnati show that we added same day in Cincinnati. So if you guys want to double up, come on and do it. It's a daytime show. We're going to be in Dallas February 8th. There's tickets available for that, so get those. And then we're going to be in Cincinnati, Portland, and Just for Laughs in Vancouver. And that is going to be at the end of February, so that's soon, too. So get tickets for that.
And I just want to say that because we're going to be traveling next week and everything, our schedule gets a little wonky, like you said. Make sure that you are subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you want to use. Make sure you're subscribed and make sure you are following our social media, basically like Instagram at Watch What Crappens on Instagram. This way you can stay up to date on when new episodes are up. And if you're subscribed, the episodes are just going to come right into your like podcast inbox. So you don't have to worry. So that just makes your life easier.
Do it, everybody. We will talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Bye, everybody.